Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nick Costos, our Radio.com sports betting insider, will drop by the show for his weekly visit coming up at 8:15. Your chance to
find out how we can win some money then.
$25 to Diametric Brewing is the 8 o'clock hour prize. Just for listening, we give stuff away 7, 8, and 9 o'clock. And Ryan makes it very, very simple to win.
I do like to keep it super simple on the people. All you have to do is listen and dial a little two-parter. All you have to do is listen for this.
I have a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yes, you do. That's our guy, Nick Costos. You can hear him coming up in 15 minutes. I bet he's having his cold brew coffee right now.
Yeah, it's wintertime. You don't drink cold brew in the wintertime. You pass that up and you wait to the summertime to get that.
No, I think he's probably still drinking his cold brew coffee.
Oh, he's taking it intravenously.
Next time you hear that, drop the caller number
15.
We don't pick that enough. Caller number 15, 913-576-7610. Next time you hear that, drop caller 15. I'm going to hook you up with $25 to Diametric Brewing.
Sure don't want to make it 12 or 8?
No.
15?
Oh. No, we're going 15. Right. Why would I want to make it 12 or 8, Josh?
Those are previous numbers of current numbers of Kirk Cousins.
Ah.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live.
I am baffled by this. Baffled, I tell you.
Look, this conflicts with everything I've said most of the year about Cousins. But I don't think the gap right now between Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes is as broad as people would think it is.
Excuse us?
I mean, play that again, please?
He's right.
Look, This conflicts with everything I've said most of the year about Cousins, but I don't think the gap right now between Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes is as broad as people would think it is.
This goes back to yesterday's conversation that Andy Reid isn't a top 20 NFL head coach of all time, but Guy Chamberlain is. You're comparing nonsense to greatness.
They're the same height.
Are they? Yeah. Are they the same height?
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost like 6'3".
On no planet except Planet Florio and Planet Bad Take is that legit. I mean, that comment right there by Mike Florio is one of those things that after you say it, you're probably like, oh my God, I probably shouldn't have said that. That was really
Cousins
stupid.
Cousins needs like 20 more pounds, but he's getting there.
Kirk
the gap's
Cousins,
not that wide. It's like a day at the buffet.
Right. Kirk Cousins to me is the antithesis of Patrick Mahomes. Kirk Cousins to me is having a nice little run. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's having a very nice run.
That's exactly what Florio's saying.
But on no level is he Patrick Mahomes. The difference to me, and this is a big difference, is that Patrick Mahomes is a true leader of an organization. He is what you want in a quarterback, a guy that is going to lead the entire organization. Kirk Cousins is a guy who was sitting on the sidelines with a visor on sideways, drooling and not knowing how to play the position until his wide receivers called him out on a podcast and basically said he's a wimp. And so after that, then all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is like, oh, I'm going to start playing football better. No, Patrick Mahomes started playing football better the minute he arrived here in Kansas
City. Planet Better Football?
He's from Planet Better Football. He's from Planet Good Quarterbacking. And Patrick Mahomes went out there and elevated this organization all by himself. He was the reason why in his first year this team was playing in an AFC championship game, and he was the reason why the Kansas City Chiefs have become a national and international brand. Kirk Cousins is a guy that's holding down a position that most Viking fans would look at right now and go, man, I don't even know if I want him back next year. That's not on the same level as Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes makes everybody on this team better, both offensively and defensively. The players say it all the time. Everybody else had to make Kirk Cousins better on the team.
I'm confused.
That's not a leader. And also, when I look at Kirk Cousins versus Patrick Mahomes, and I see, can this guy win me a game with 17 seconds left? The answer is no. He cannot win me a game with 17 seconds left. And that's the big difference. Go back to the Tennessee game. I told you that next morning. 17 seconds to go. Chiefs have the ball. Way too much time for Patrick Mahomes. I believe that every time Patrick Mahomes has the football, he has the ability to score points. Kirk Cousins, I don't believe that in. Kirk Cousins is not a type of quarterback that I would want leading my football team and leading my organization into the future. It's just not. And if I'm doing a quarterback draft right now, guys, I don't even know if Kirk Cousins is in the top 15. You got Dak. You got Mahomes. You got Brady. You got Wilson. You got Rodgers. You got Deshaun Watson. Derek Carr's playing good. Garoppolo. Like, there's so
Lamar's
many
great.
Quarterbacks.
Did you mention Lamar Jackson
Lamar's
at all?
Great.
Did I mention Lamar Jackson?
I don't think so.
I didn't mention Lamar yet. I got him right here
but
on my list. I don't know why I didn't mention. But Lamar Jackson, I mean.
Front runner for the MVP, Lamar Jackson.
So there are so many people that I would think of and consider even before the name. Like, Kirk Cousins would be one of those, like, oh, he's still around? All right, fine, I'll take it.
I swear, man. Like, the thing that a lot of people really dislike about where we're at as a society right now is that we read headlines and we react. And that's what I think you're doing right here, Bob.
Wait, I'm not reading anything. We played the man's comments and are
reacting. In no world did he say Kirk Cousins is on the exact same level of Patrick Mahomes. He said at this very moment, at this moment right now, the gap between the two is not as broad as you might think.
It's totally false because Kirk Cousins has zero intangibles and zero ability to lead his team out of depth.
That's crazy to think, Bob.
The man had to be called out by his teammates. Leaders of men don't get called out by their lieutenants. They lead, and Kirk Cousins is not a leader. I don't need to hear anything else. Great
numbers,
fantastic.
What was the reaction by Kirk Cousins after that, Bob? He brought those guys who called him out onto his podcast and apologized to them.
You should be doing that as a quarterback. You should be getting called out.
Take that out of it, Bob. What has he done on the football field as a quarterback?
Lost
Kirk
to the Chiefs.
Cousins' last seven games, his only loss is to the Chiefs.
That's
They're
right.
6-1. What are the Chiefs in their last six games with Patrick Mahomes under quarterback,
Mahomes
Bob?
Mahomes has been injured.
They're 4-3 with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. I'm taking out those two Matt Moore games.
Four and three,
and I'm even giving him credit for the win in Denver, Bob.
You even understand, Ryan, that like football is a team game, and Minnesota is that much better on defense than the Chiefs are. They have a legit running back. You know, Patrick Mahomes, quite honestly, out there this year, doing it without a running game and doing it without an offensive line for the most part that's been injured all year, and doing it without a defense that not even close to hitting its peak yet. Minnesota's got one of the best defenses in the NFL. They got the best running back in the NFL, and they got a beast of an offensive line. Kirk Cousins is along for the ride. He's not leading that team right now.
You are just really getting all worked up
Bob. Because it's a dumb comment. Like, stop comparing the best quarterback in the NFL to Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins in his last seven games.
A blind squirrel finds a nut, too.
Seven games straight isn't a blind squirrel finding a damn nut,
Bob. Not even half a season.
It's a guy hitting a hot streak. The guy's on.
It's not even half a season, Ryan.
2,000 yards.
It's not even a half a season.
Okay, I'll add one extra game to give you a half a season of where Kirk Cousins is. He has 2,253 yards, 18 touchdowns, and one interception over his last eight games.
A rating of
121.6.
Good numbers, but he's not Patrick Mahomes.
You're saying he's not leading his teams to victory. He's led them to six over those last eight.
The Lions. They beat the Redskins. They beat Dallas. They beat Denver. Oh, God, line up the...
I have a cup of coffee in the morning.
Line up all the teams that he's beating.
Oh, there it was. There was the who have you beaten argument.
That's right.
When you said that it doesn't matter that Frank Clark beat that.
That's right. For an individual player on our team, it doesn't matter.
Mahomes is only $27 million less, too.
Moving the goalpost makes it almost impossible to have a conversation with you.
No, I'm just being honest here. The guy is not on the same level. Not on the same level.
And that wasn't
Patrick
the comment.
Mahomes. He did say that. Right now, there's not too much of a difference between the two.
He said the gap between the two is not that broad.
It's huge. Huge.
It's not as wide as most people think.
He's out here pandering to these Mahomies. That's what you're doing.
No, I'm out there spitting truths. And if you ask anybody in the NFL, any general manager in the NFL right now, is the gap between Mahomes and Cousins big? They'll spit coffee in your face.
Look. This conflicts with everything I've said most of the year about Cousins.
He doesn't even want to say it.
But I don't think the gap right now between Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes is as broad as people would think it is.
Yeah, broad gap. whatever your determination of a broad gap is, not taking Kirk Cousins any day of the week.
Ever.
In a conversation.
I don't want Kirk Cousins leading Patrick a Mahomes. Youth league team.
Speaking of other things that are ridiculous, the Raiders having a chance against the Chiefs. Rich Gannon played for both, dropped by the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio, but he thinks the Chiefs should be a little bit afraid.
I'd watch out. They've won three straight. I think you look at the younger players, and they're getting some major contributions from young players. We talk a little bit about their defense. Their defense is littered with rookies and first-year players. And my guy, Mad Max Crosby, he had four sacks against the Cincinnati Bengals. He was all over the place. Josh Jacobs had another 100-yard rushing day. He's just shy of 1,000 yards. They're getting a lot of contributions from young players. And you guys remember, I said, you know, after the third, fourth week of the season, you asked me about the Raiders. And I said, guys, keep an eye on the Raiders in the second half of the season because playing a lot of young players, it's going to take a while for them to get up to speed in the systems and get experience, but you're starting to see more and more of that. Hunter Renfrow's playing better. Foster Moreau, their rookie tight end from LSU. I mentioned Max Crosby. Cleveland Farrell, their first-round pick out of Clemson. Mullen's starting to play in the secondary. So, look, the quarterback has done a good job taking care of the football. John Gruden's a good play caller. This will be a good matchup. Just go back to what happened week one. I mean, this is a really good game, and these divisional games are so hard to win. You got to play your best football, I think, to beat the Raiders.
Well, you got to beat the Jets before you can even think about the Chiefs. And everybody is talking about this Chiefs-Raiders game way too early for my money because the Chiefs are off, so they're going to be 7-4. Everybody is just assuming the Raiders are going to go to New Jersey and beat the Jets. And you know what? I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to be easy as everybody thinks it is. You got to go cross country. You got a lot of young guys. And when he mentioned young guys and first-year players and second-year players on that defense, that's part of the reason why I think it's too early to start buying in to the Oakland Raiders. I don't know that they know how to handle success. Now, if they go to New Jersey and beat the Jets, maybe we're having a different conversation next week. But everybody's just assuming they're going to beat the Jets. I don't think they're going to beat the Jets. It's hard for a West Coast team, you know, in my opinion, to go east. And then to roll out, this dude had four sacks against the Bengals. Ooh, wow, great. Yeah, fantastic.
If your name is Max, can you have any other nickname than Mad?
Marvelous.
No, it's Mad.
That's Mad, right?
That's the only way to go.
I like Marvelous, Max.
Michael in Greenwood, your winner this hour. The 8 o'clock hour prize, $25 to Diametric Brewing, just for listening. Nick Costos, Radio.com Sports Betting Insider, drops by for his weekly visit. He'll chat the Thursday night game, and with no Chiefs, who to bet on this weekend. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We'll be out today. Brookside Price Chopper, noon to 2. Supporting Adela Lamb and Operation Thanksgiving. All you have to do is drop by today, and we'll be there noon to 2, but the drive, Show and Vern, will be there as well. There are other participating Price Choppers as well. You can stop by and donate a frozen turkey. Let's go into the store, buy a turkey, hand it to us. We're going to get it to those in need, courtesy of Adela Lamb Community Services and the 27th Annual Operation Thanksgiving. They assist over 1,000 low-income families with providing everything for a Thanksgiving dinner. It's considered the largest one-day food distribution event in the area. And come support to Adela Lamb today. And again, we'll be at the Brookside Price Chopper from noon to 2. Just buy a turkey, hand it to us.
Yep.
Simple as that.
I already got two in the car from Tammy over at the Westin, so we got a good start already. And just bring your turkey and hand it to one of us three turkeys.
You can bring donations to Adela Lamb now through November 25th. Cash donations also welcome. Say $35. That provides one family everything needed for their Thanksgiving dinner. So come on out and contribute. All the details at adelalamb.org. But we'll be at the Brookside Price Chopper today from noon to 2.
Somebody going to be handing us cash?
I don't think so.
It would be like a supervisor there, right?
Yeah.
Somebody in charge. Sounds like a questionable decision.
someone. Here's $35.
All of us looking at each other. No. Hand us turkeys. We're in charge of the turkeys. Just throw us some frozen turkeys.
All right. Throw us a frozen bird or two.
That's right. Nick Costos is on the line, Radio.com Sports Betting Insider, host of You Better You Bet. Insider calls brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. You can hear Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the Radio.com app and website. Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining us once again.
What's going on, guys? Great to talk to you, as per usual, on a Thursday, and, of course, to the great people of Kansas City.
Fesco wanted to know, do you drink cold coffee in the cold?
Yes. Yes, I do. Although, I did last week. I was with my girlfriend, and we were at, like, this, like, cafe by where she lives or whatever, like, one of these, like, hipster coffee places. And I had hot coffee, and I don't know why, like, the mood struck me, and I wanted a hot coffee, but it was, like, very hot. It was, like, the first time in, I want to say maybe like 10 years I've actually gone somewhere and ordered hot coffee. So, yes, even in like the dead of winter, I will drink iced coffee. It was actually not bad, the hot coffee, but I'm back on the iced coffee train. I'm actually looking right now at this beautiful mason jar I've got, which is filled to the brim with dark roast cold brew coffee. God bless. I'm going to drink that. It's going to be a nice jolt before I get on the train to head into Manhattan in a little bit.
Well, I do appreciate the cold brew coffee and the fact that you're, you know, talking about it. It makes me want to actually like take your advice on that Amazon link you sent a month ago and buy some of that stuff.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I am an idiot, as you may tell from some of my picks, and I'm able to put this coffee together. You can definitely do it. Strong recommend for me.
Like, I don't.
The sales aren't until like next week, Bob. You can
that,
wait.
That is true. I'm waiting for Cyber Friday or whatever the hell we have coming up. Yeah. Cyber Monday. Then I'll take advantage of all of those sales on Amazon. All right. Let me start off with a Chiefs question right now and Super Bowl odds. Is this a good week to say, you know what? Let me throw a couple of bucks down on the Chiefs getting two and winning the Super Bowl.
You know, I kind of like. I don't. I've been saying all week on You Better You Best this week. I don't think the Patriots are going to win the AFC, guys. And I kind of think that the AFC is a little wide open right now. New England is obviously awesome, and they have the great equalizer in Bill Belichick, their head coach. But like, let's take this Sunday's game, for instance, right, Cowboys and Patriots. If the Cowboys had a head coach with half a brain, like let's say you switch the head coaches in this game and Bill Belichick coaches the Cowboys and Jason Garrett coaches the Patriots, the Cowboys would definitely win the game. Like, the Cowboys are a better team than the Patriots. Like, the Patriots don't have the personnel to really do what they've done in previous years. Or now, it's certainly within the realm of possibility that they can, like, mirror kind of what the 2015 Broncos did. And I'm not saying that 2019 Tom Brady is as bad as 2015 Noodle Arm Peyton Manning, but, like, they don't have any weapons, and Brady ain't getting any younger. Like, Brady's still great. He's still Brady. But, like, 14 incompletions in the first half last week, he's clearly frustrated, and he should be. I don't know that this offense is good enough. Like, they're going to have to try and win games, like Brady said earlier this week, on defense and special teams. And, like, I think the Ravens are going to launch in them if they play them again. They're going to run the ball on the Patriots defense because they can do it. And I think the Chiefs are going to be able to score points. So, like, we remember the AFC Championship game last year, and obviously I'm not trying to bring it up, like, rub it into people who are obviously very upset by the result. But, like, that was a high-scoring game. Like, the Patriots outscored the Chiefs in that game and happened to win the coin toss in overtime. Like, if these two teams play again in the playoffs, and I understand the Patriots defense is great, why can't the Chiefs score 27 points in that game with Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback? Like, they can, and I'm not sure that the Patriots can score to catch up. So I think if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a Ravens fan, I think you're feeling pretty decent right now, as decent as you can with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady on the other sideline. So I think there is reason for optimism right now to concern the Chiefs and the Ravens right now for AFC future to go to the Super Bowl.
So who is the best value in your mind then to win the AFC right now?
I would say it's Kansas City, and I haven't seen the updated odds this morning, but it's the Chiefs. I think the Ravens are at the absolute top of the market right now, the apex of the market, and I feel like I say that every week, and every week they just play better and better. At some point, like, it's going to correct a little bit. I actually think it's going to happen on Monday night. I bet the Rams plus 3.5 a couple days ago. Ravens may win that game, but I don't think this is going to be like a blowout like we're used to seeing with the Ravens at this point here. So I don't think there's a ton of value in Baltimore. There's obviously no value on the New England Patriots. And then I think if you look at the landscape of the AFC, and here's the question that you, when I say you, I mean like the person listening to this right now on radio, is what you got to ask yourself, like, how many teams in the AFC can actually win the conference and actually go to the Super Bowl? Like, can the Houston Texans do it?
No.
I would argue no, because their coach is absolutely terrible. So
right.
Can the Colts do it? I would say no, because I don't think they have enough talented quarterback. I like Brissett, but like, can Brissett go to the Super Bowl? I would say probably not. So I think you've only really got three teams that can win the conference. The Patriots, the Ravens, and the Chiefs.
Agree.
The Chiefs have the best odds right now, ergo, I think the Chiefs are the best value.
All right, let's look at tonight's game, Colts and Texans. Obviously, this is going to have a factor in the postseason race. What do you like tonight?
You know, it's a very tough game to handicap, guys. And I feel like it sounds like a cop-out because, like, I know people want, like, this is the pick and, like, it's the greatest pick of all time. But we kind of have to wait to see, like, is T.Y. Hilton playing in the game? He's trending to play in the game, but we don't know if he's going to play in this game. He's obviously missed some time. You know, he's been practicing this week. He's questionable on the injury report. Hilton has absolutely crushed the Texans in his career. If you look at Jacoby Brissett's numbers with and without Hilton, which makes sense when you have your number one receiver, you perform better. So, I mean, if T.Y. Hilton plays in the game, I lean towards the Colts getting the points. If Hilton doesn't play, I kind of still like Indy getting the points because I think the coaching advantage and the coaching mismatch in this game is very fast, right, between Frank Reich and between Bill O'Brien. So it's a slight lean for me. Like, I'm not going to bet the game if Hilton doesn't play. I'll just watch it, and, like, I got a lot of fantasy implications tonight, so I'll be invested in it. If T.Y. Hilton does play tonight, and we're going to have to wait to see if that's the case an hour and a half before kickoff, I do think that there then becomes some value with the Indianapolis Colts.
Nick, you've mentioned coaching a lot. For years, I said I believe I could be a better head coach than a good portion of these dopes in the NFL right now. How much value do you put on coaching matchups when you look at where you're placing your money in a game?
Oh, it's absolutely massive, and it's more pronounced in the NFL than it is in any other sport. And I'm not sure that it's even close. I mean, look at the Browns a couple times this season. You know, like, I've come on the show and, like, this is what people don't understand. It's like, when you give a pick and the pick loses, like, it's not a bad pick necessarily. Like, I think we handicapped the Browns very well earlier in the season, right? The game against Seattle that they lost at home, when they got blown out by the Patriots in New England, and then the loss that they had in Denver. If you actually, like, watch the games and, like, watch the box and, like, look at the box score of these games, the Browns not only should have covered in all three, they should have won all three games by, like, double digits. But Freddie Kitchens is absolutely terrible. So, like, you have to take that into account. Maybe it wasn't a great pick, I guess, right? You have to take that into account that Freddie Kitchens is the head coach, right? But the Cowboys-Patriots game that I said, like, the Patriots in no universe, 1-53, are that much better than the Dallas Cowboys. They're just not. But they have the greatest head coach of all time, and the Cowboys have the clock for Jason Garrett. So, like, if you switch coaches, I think the Cowboys would win the game by 10. So I think coaching is a major thing that you have to take into account. And, like, that's obviously the human element that goes into handicapping games. It's like, yeah, the Browns should be covering in all these games, but then the other head coach is an absolute dope, and he screws it up every Sunday. So it's massive in the NFL. Massive.
Nick Kostos, we'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. Wishing you and all the listeners minimal sweat when you bet. Absolute very best of luck.
Love it. Nick Kostos, You Better You Bet. You can hear him each and every night in the radio.com app. He's our sports betting insider, brought to you by the midsize metros from Mercedes-Benz. Again, go check out Nick, You Better You Bet, every night in the radio.com app. Our big story coming up, and the NCAA strikes again. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. The defense is coming. The NCAA is coming as well. And old Mason changes his tune. All to get to in the next 30 minutes. Time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
I wonder if he'll have any money for, Black Friday or Cyber Monday or any of these things, because it's going to become official, right?
Today, it is expected to be officially official.
Okay.
Today is the day at the NFL, the Major League Baseball owners meetings, that the owners are expected to approve the sale of the Kansas City Royals from the Glass family to John Sherman. And that is expected to happen today. They think it's going to happen today at the end of the owners meetings. That's kind of on the agenda to take place down
all
in Dallas.
All in favor say aye.
All in favor say aye. Everybody's going to say aye. And we're going to, move on and have a new owner of this ball club. Now, the interesting thing that I was told is that, like, the money transfer is supposed to take place next week when the money officially becomes transferred to the Glass family from John Sherman, then the sale will be official. How cool would it be to wake up and check your Beck statement and go, I got an extra billion in here.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, do taxes come out of that before that goes in?
Do you
in,
have to do it on a laptop involving an offshore account?
Yeah.
To have those kinds of dollars or not?
I don't know. Is Western Union feels involved like, feels in something like that?
It's like one of those where you're just hitting refresh.
Oh, there it is.
You're watching the progress. One guy's watching the progress bar go. The other one's watching the money go in the account.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, I think. Yeah, I think that's ultimately, I guess, I know they call it a wire transfer. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if he brings a check and he stands there and presents like a big check or something like that.
That would be even better.
That would be cool, right?
He hands a big check over to the Glass family.
Right. It's a nice photo op. So he is expected to...
They shake hands and say, "It's one guy's got the keys.
Does he hand him his key card?
Mr. Glass has the keys.
Right. You sure you want this? Are you sure?
Give me the keys. Handing the big check.
Yeah. So that should become, hopefully today, it will become official down at those owners' meetings in Dallas. And then next week, the money's just supposed to change hands. And we got ourselves a new owner of the Kansas City Royals. And so I want to just thank Mr. Glass for running this ball club. And I know it was rocky at the beginning, but I think when you look overall at the Glass family and see what they did for Kansas City, big picture-wise, they saved baseball in Kansas City, Josh. There were no guarantees, you know, that baseball was going to be here in Kansas City. When Mr. Kauffman died, they were in a trust. They couldn't find an owner. They finally found that guy, Miles Prentice, out of New York, who had 27 people on his committee with him. And was that going to stay here? Who knows? David Glass was the right owner at the right time. And then he hired the right general manager to run the organization in Dayton Moore at the right time and changed as an owner at the right time. Not everything was great. Not everything was, you know, perfect at the beginning. But once David Glass allowed Dayton Moore to come in and he turned ownership, not ownership over, but turned kind of control over to Dayton Moore and said, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to run this organization. They took off, man, and became one of the model organizations in Major League Baseball with the way that they developed the farm system, with the way that they built from within, with the way that they cultivated talent, and then going to the back-to-back World Series and winning that World Championship. Obviously, that's the cherry on top of the Glass family ownership here in Kansas City. So from my standpoint, I just want to thank the Glass family. If today is the day that John Sherman officially gets approved and becomes the owner of the Royals, I just want to thank the Glass family for all that you did and for saving baseball in our town, man, really, because I see the difference that those teams made in my kids' lives, in everybody's lives that were in Kansas City in 14 and 15. And if the Glass family didn't buy that team, maybe we don't experience that in 14 and 15 and have the world championship here in KC. So from me to you, thank you very much, Glass family, for buying the team and for running the team and keeping the team here in Kansas City.
There's your big story. Again, baseball owners expected to approve the sale of the Royals from David Glass to John Sherman today, according to Royals.com, MLB.com's Jeffrey Flanagan. Sale would become official then next week.
That's right. So, when that money gets transferred. Hey, how come you haven't transferred the fund? Oh, it's a holiday. I mean, it's a banking holiday. Yeah. We'll get it eventually.
You have to wait those extra, like, if you put in for the transfer today, does it not really go through until Monday? Because,
right,
you know, banks close over the weekend, can't quite get to it. It's like a 3-day lag.
Yeah, right.
All those things.
Couple
I'm guessing.
Business days, you know, carry the
guessing
one.
It's just like you paying your mortgage.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I got to give a shout out this morning to Dr. Watkins up at ANU Medical because she gave me a shot last night, and I got this sinus thing that I've had for 2 weeks cleared up in minutes. ANU Aesthetics and Optimal Wellness, man. I'll tell you, they're up in the Northland, and I went up there. They had a man cave event last night and all this cool stuff that guys can get done. And I'm like, I got this sinus infection. You got anything for that? She's like, yeah, let me give you this. Boom, done. And it cleared me right up. Like, I've been dealing with this thing for 2 months now, Josh. Now I can actually see this TV again across the room. So I'm feeling like $1 million today. Not $1 billion to go buy a baseball team.
No, you're not hitting refresh on your bank account.
Yeah, I'm feeling $1 million better.
The defense is coming. Tyrann Mathieu joined us yesterday on the show, Chiefs safety, and discuss, hey, the Tennessee game, okay, notwithstanding, we've seen progress kind of building up on this defense. And it took a while. Maybe you haven't fully bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it took a while for the players to fully buy into it. But mm-hmm. from their perspective, they're buying in.
We've been doing a lot of the same things that we've been doing since the spring. You know, I think Spags really came in here and, you know, really, you know, brought some details, right, to our side of the ball defensively. And I think, you know, 6-7 months later, I think we're starting to really believe in those details. And I think we're starting to see that those details work. And, you know, we're starting to see that the different, you know, little 10 minutes here or the 20 minutes there that are very, very important throughout the work week in practice that we can really get better, right, and give ourselves some good looks. You know, we're really taking advantage of those times and those periods. And like I said, I'm looking forward to it because I can see the look in guys' faces. They want to come to work. They love to come to work. They love to practice. And they love to play in this defense. So, you know, we've played some good opponents this year, some mm-hmm. really good teams, some really good running backs. And I think we're tested. So I think we really know what we're capable of. And so we're looking forward to it.
You know, that's really good to hear that they're finally buying in and believing in and getting to the point where you need to be in December. The buy-in doesn't have to happen in September. You don't have to be a finished product September 5th. You have to be a finished product once we get towards the month of December and into December and then on into January. And I think this defense has been trending upwards. They're getting better. Frank Clark had a great game the other night. Tyrann had a pick, could have had two. They had four turnovers of Phillip Rivers. Like, they did a nice job the other night. They won that game because of their defense. They won that game because they went out there and forced Phillip Rivers into four turnovers and pestered him all night long. I really enjoyed watching that type of defensive performance. And now the time has kicked in where they're all looking around that room and they're saying, all right, I get it now. I understand why we're doing this. I'm buying it. I'm trusting you. Yes, you've got my best interest in mind. When did Ned Yost become a better manager? You know when Ned Yost became a better manager? When he started to trust his coaches around him and believe in the people that were in that room with him. And I think that's where this defense is right now.
Also when he got a historically good bullpen, that's coincidentally.
When he started to trust his coaches, he changed as a manager. Anybody in the organization will tell you that. Like, you start to believe in the people that are around you and that they have your best interest in mind. And again, it goes back to the Derek Johnson story we always share. When you don't believe in the people around you and you don't trust the people around you to get their job done, it's not going to happen. And it sounds like these guys on defense now are starting to believe in and trust each other around
them. Skepticism. I mean, skepticism may be a stronger word, but some doubt early on. Like,
yeah, after that Houston game, there was a lot of doubt. Yeah.
And even Matthew had said at that point, like, if we don't buy in and we don't all believe, and it's going to continue to go like this. And I think that there had to be some belief from the players that this was going to be something too. I mean, it was all new to everybody. And maybe they're starting to figure out what he's asking. He's also showing the ability to adapt midstream. I thought that was big the other night as well. Gave up 300 some yards in the first half, 134 or whatever in the second half, and showed some adjustments. How can they not be feeling confident about what they're able to do? They were able to turn somebody over four times,
right?
And do all those things. So yeah, you can see it. You can see the defense playing with some confidence. Frank Clark's playing with a whole ton of confidence, right? Tyrann Mathieu had said that he believed that was Frank Clark's best game. Frank Clark certainly believes that was a Frank Clark-type game.
Sure.
More so than maybe some others that we've seen. He's playing with a boatload of confidence. In fact, Kyle Brandt of NFL Network says Frank Clark, not only maybe the most important player for a Chiefs defense, but how about for the entire AFC?
Frank Clark, I think, was the best player in this game. And I also think, in a way, one of the most important players in the whole AFC. I'll tell you why. It's his relationship with Mahomes in that offense. I remember a young Peyton Manning would put up numbers and numbers and touchdowns and touchdowns. And when Dwight Freeney started to explode is when they really turned the corner. It's like, I need somebody. The Warriors are in Golden State are going to score 130 points. I need my Iguodala to keep LeBron to 30 and not 40. I feel like Frank Clark is that guy. Made a bunch of big plays last night. And even when he didn't make it, he was close to making it. And you start to envision, if the Chiefs are really going to do this thing, it's going to be a big play defensively against maybe Derek Carr or Lamar or Brady or somebody. I still think the Chiefs cannot. I think they'll figure out their offense. I think they cannot 46-38 their way to the AFC title. I think they need somebody who's a shot blocker. And I think they got it in Frank Clark.
It's a lot of multiple sport references there, but I get what he's saying. You need kind of that impact, that other impact guy.
Yeah, you do.
Another guy that can change a game for you. And if it's on the other side of the ball or complementary, if your offense is your main side, can the complementary side step up and do that? They need playmakers is basically what he's saying. And Frank Clark has the opportunity to be that for the remainder of the season for the Chiefs.
I think when you look for playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, you guys immediately said Chris Jones, and I agree with that. Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu also have the opportunity to be those type of impact players, and I think we need them to be those type of impact players. It's okay to have more than one impact player on the defensive side, and if Frank Clark can use that game that he had on Monday night in his own mind and build himself up and really believe that he's turned the corner and here we go, then that's all you need, because he's going to be going into every game now going forward with that confidence. And you've got to have that confidence as a professional athlete, because if you don't, you're beat before you even step on the field.
All right. Everybody continues to take like cracks at the foundation of what is the NCAA. This one involves Memphis, and their star freshman, James Wiseman, has now been suspended 12 games by the NCAA, will be eligible to play on January 12th, but he's got to sit out to 12 games. The punishment stems from a couple of violations. His mother accepted $11,500 from Penny Hardaway in the summer of 2017.
Was Penny the coach of 2017?
He was not the coach of Memphis in 2017.
So this is a pre-existing relationship.
Correct. Penny Hardaway was a high school coach, was an AAU coach,
but at the time also was considered a booster of Memphis. He later became the head coach of Memphis, but was considered a booster of Memphis because he'd given Memphis money. Right.
So long story short with the NCAA, don't talk to anybody that may be associated with anything because you could be in trouble years
later.
Well,
certainly don't lend them money.
Do you think Penny still has Little Penny hanging around the house?
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
God, I'd love me a little so marionette this of me.
This family got $11,000 for moving expenses. Now, it's on the surface, it does appear you're like, ugh. You think the kid knew that his family got money from the coach to move?
How old was he in 2017? 16
years
old?
In high school? If you move, are your parents sharing every detail of... Yeah, I mean, I think they moved for basketball, right? I mean, they moved to have him play for Penny Hardaway in high school. I think that's
but
firmly
the
case.
People do that all the time.
Is the kid supposed to know where... Mom got the money to move?
No. Why would you be up with your family's finances
you
at
know what?
16?
James, we're going to move. I just wanted to say we're going to move because Penny gave us money, and we're going to move, and you're going to be able to play for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to come up. So the kid's punished now 12 games.
Right.
And on top of that, has to pay back $11,500 to charity.
Where's he going to get that as a student athlete?
A student athlete who's not allowed to work and not allowed to have a job.
Correct.
Has to come up with a plan to pay back $11,500. And presumably...
Can he get that from Penny?
It is supposed to happen before they exhaust their eligibility.
What if it doesn't?
That is indeed fair. What if you say, nah.
Oh, are you going to strip the title again?
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to strip it.
What are you going to do?
So this whole thing is silly. Now,
how is a kid whose mother needed to take money from a coach to move to be able to afford to move, how is a kid who plays for an NCAA-sanctioned university where they're not allowed to work, not allowed to make money, not allowed to make money off their likeness, where is he supposed to come up with $11,500? Like, if somebody came up to you right now and said, I need $11,500, could you even come up with
no.
that money? How many Americans right now could just scratch a check for $11,500?
No, I do what America does and takes out credit.
Right, you
loan
you charge it.
So I guess he's going to have to take all those student credit card things that you get in the mail when you're a student in college.
Correct.
And just run them up.
And run them up. That's what he's going to go into debt. Because the NCAA wants a college athlete who makes no money to pay back $11,500.
And again, Penny Hardaway was not the coach at Memphis. Hey, I'm not naive to say he wasn't setting himself up to be a coach somewhere and bring some players with him. That happens all the time,
but
right?
But he wasn't technically
the coach. He wasn't the coach at Memphis when this entire thing happened. And sure, he had a relationship with the kid, and he gave the mother money.
Right.
It seems like the facts of it are true, but like, how does this factor into suspending the kid for 12 games?
And how does it factor in that he has to pay the money back to a charity?
And he has to pay back the money. It's ridiculous. Jay Billis of ESPN.
This was really a garden variety eligibility case. So the ultimate result was pretty clear. It was going to be 9 games, and then the NCAA added the 3 games on that Wiseman played while ineligible for a total of 12. So it was fair from the application of the rules and from the process. Now, I think the rule stinks. And it should be changed. I think the rule is unfair, but the application of the rule is fair. If the NCAA didn't do this, if they didn't give Wiseman the 9 games, which is 30% of the season, and stuff that we talked about well before this ruling was ever handed down, they would have been criticized like crazy by others who got the same punishment in the past. So this is normal process for how these sort of extra benefit cases go and eligibility cases.
The other strange thing about this whole thing, Bob, is Memphis. I mean, they will appeal and do some things, but they've got like pretty quick resolution. Meanwhile, like, we got some local schools that are just sitting around like waiting.
Yeah.
Like it'll take forever to sort through some of these things. And some of these things they can seemingly sort through in a quick amount of time.
I'm baffled by the $11,500 repayment. Did anybody like we heard Mike Florio compare Patrick Mahomes to Kirk Cousins.
Is he allowed
today
to get the money from any source at this point?
Then we have this. Like there's like stupidity is just out there today in the sports world. The NCAA of all institutions, well, you gotta pay this money back. Where are we supposed to get this money from, Mr. NCAA, who doesn't allow me to work?
Mom needs to find somebody else to give them the money to pay them to charity. I don't know.
Unbelievable. He can't get a job. He can't go work at a gas station at night or the student library or
something
like
that.
Not allowed to. I know.
Not allowed to. Can't do it.
It's so dumb.
Mason Rudolph has changed his tune a little bit. The Steelers quarterback, who was very vocal, you'll remember, about Myles Garrett ripping off his helmet and then swinging it at him.
Mm-hmm.
A week ago, Thursday night.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
So, not so fast, Miles.
So total coward, right?
Was the not guy who back down.
Kicked a man on the balls.
Yes. Yeah. So calling him a coward. The video then revealed, well, it looks like Mason Rudolph's trying to rip off Myles Garrett's helmet first.
Yeah.
Kicked him in the junk. Myles Garrett had his appeal hearing this week. They're expected to.
Now the video has revealed that Mason Rudolph's a total B.
Yeah, it doesn't
bode well for him now.
Doesn't exonerate Myles Garrett from going four steps further in that incident. But Mason Rudolph's now kind of changed his tune a little bit. That coward stuff, all that. Sorry.
As I released the ball, you know, I took a late shot. Did not agree with the way he then, you know, took me to the ground, and my natural reaction was just to get him off from on top of me. Mm-hmm. And again, I should have done a better job handling that situation. I have no ill will towards Myles Garrett. Great respect for his ability as a player, and I know that if Myles could go back, he would handle the situation differently. As for my involvement last week, there's no acceptable excuse. The bottom line is I should have done a better job keeping my composure in that situation, and it falls short of what I believe it means to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and member of the NFL.
Oh, there it is.
Good prepared statement from some publicist.
God bless America. God bless everyone at home.
Take care. Good night. Happy Thanksgiving.
I got a better job.
I got to do a better job. I can't handle my composure. This is not what it means to be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What does it mean to be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
We'll change from Myles Garrett's a coward. And I will not back down from bullies.
Maybe I could have done things if I shouldn't have kicked him in the nuts. You think? That's a cowardly move there.
You think?
Now, I'm not absolving Myles Garrett.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
You know, he really just does everything cool. And I'm really not just saying that. The guy really has, tremendous swag. Each and every day, each and every play, everything matters to him, especially in practice. If he throws a deep ball, he wants to connect on it. So he works on all his no-looks, it's across the field passes in practice. So it's always a good thing to see, to sit down and really watch him work, because he truly is a hard worker.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Here I play along. Tyrann Mathieu joined us yesterday here on Fesco in the Morning. Check out the full interview, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app in the on-demand section. He was doting on Mahomes. Yeah, just everything he does is cool.
Yeah, it's true. Nobody said that about Kirk Cousins except Mike Florio.
Oh, no.
I think Kirk Cousins is as cool as Patrick Mahomes.
No, stop. Meanwhile, we might have to do a doting on Alex.
Oh, my God. Alex Smith is becoming the quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, he really is.
When's he going to Chicago to fix Trubisky?
I mean, there's a coat. Well, well.
Off season, right?
Maybe. Definitely a coach in waiting, but certainly.
No, stop. He's not a coach in waiting. Do you really think Alex Smith is going to take a massive pay cut to work more hours?
Not at the moment. No, not until his current contract is fulfilled.
I mean, just for it ever. Like, I don't understand.
You don't think he'll coach?
No.
You don't think he will?
Every athlete that I talk to about coaching, they're like, get paid less and work more. No, I'm not interested in that.
He sounds like a coach to me.
I mean, you're not getting many former players in any sport saddling up to coach anymore, Josh.
Somebody's OC down the road.
I don't think his wife will let him do it. And I wouldn't. Hell out.
We know that Pat loves him, right? And Senior loves him, right? What he did for Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Haskins says he's blessed to call Alex Smith a teammate. You probably saw the videos of the rehab his Alex Smith's wife put out, which was wow. The man is one of the best people I've been around, says Haskins. Blessed to be able to call him a teammate. He's been a near constant presence at Redskin Park since the summer when he was able to come back. Alex Smith, that is. Smith was in for training camp. He's been traveling with the team for road games. And, oh, by the way, he's mentoring the up-and-coming quarterback for the
Redskins.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, that's who he is. That's the type of person that he is. I mean, we're again, so fortunate to have and to have had Alex Smith as the guy here before Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we're seeing, you know, quarterbacks all over. Like, we'll use Joe Flacco as the example, where they asked him about, you know, grooming the next guy, and he had no interest in doing that. And I think Joe Flacco is more of the rule than Alex Smith is. I just don't see a lot of guys, especially that position, grooming their replacement. I'm not grooming you to take my job and put me out of work and where I have to move and, you know, disrupt my family's life to go to another team or another city. Like, guys just don't do that. That's not in their nature. And that's why it makes it even more impressive to see what Alex Smith is doing. And he didn't just stop with Patrick Mahomes. He's now doing it in Washington, D.C. with Clem Haskins. And then next year he'll end up with the Chicago Bears, and he'll probably have to do that with Mitchell Trubisky there. You don't think for a moment that Matt Nagy's not thinking about bringing in Alex Smith for a year or two to help him out with Mitchell Trubisky. You're out of your mind, because if he could work out a trade with the Washington Redskins to, you know, send something there, draft picks there to get Alex Smith, I bet he would do it in a heartbeat, because I think Alex Smith will have more value to the Chicago Bears for the future of Mitchell Trubisky than he will for winning them games, you know, when he gets there and he's the starting quarterback. I think that could be a difference maker for them.
Alex Smith under contract through 2022, I believe, 2023. He'll become an unrestricted free agent. However, they do have a potential out after next season.
But they could also trade him, too. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think –
And the Redskins.
Or if he's just not healthy, he
I'm really curious, at some point. Is there any type of situation or scenario that you could imagine the Washington Redskins not taking that potential out? Because, I mean, they go out and they draft Dwayne Haskins. They believe that he is going to be at least – I know the GM believes it. I don't know if the coach believes it, right, but I don't think he's going to be around that long.
Well, no,
anyway.
The coach that really didn't believe him was already fired.
And so, you know, I can't imagine a world where you don't just wait a year and let him become a free agent, because at that point he wouldn't have played in what, two full seasons?
No, I think if you have the opportunity to trade him after this season, you 100% trade him after this season.
Oh, sure, if you're Washington, yeah. But I can't imagine a lot of teams just chomping at the bit to go out and trade for a guy who you could – wait a year and see what happens.
No, I think Matt Nagy would. I think they've got that big a problem right now in Chicago with the quarterback situation.
Nagy's got to do everything. Yeah, he may be one of those three and done NFL coaches. I mean, he's not careful.
He was in that room every day with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes.
I'm also curious how much they have to offer up that Khalil Mack trade. They sent away what, two first rounders in the Khalil Mack trade.
Well,
so I don't
so
know
so many future picks.
I don't know what it would. I don't know what it would take to get Alex Smith away from Washington. I would assume at this point you just essentially agreeing to pay out the remainder of his contract would be enough
Washington. And if he could even play.
But you're not getting him to play. You're getting him to be in that room.
Right, but if
and
you trade for him, Bob, you're on the hook for $21 million.
I'm not trading for a consultant.
I'm not taking a $21 million cap hit to have somebody consult.
Well, they may, though. I mean, they're in desperate situations there right now. And do you look in college right now and see definitely somebody who's going to be better than, you know, Mitchell Trubisky is right now? You don't know that. So I think you know what you have in Trubisky. You go out and you make that move for Alex Smith. And Matt Nagy was there every single day with Alex and with Patrick in his final year as the offensive coordinator here in Kansas City. He sat in those rooms. He knows what Alex Smith can bring to the equation. I think if you're an organization like the Bears and you are committed to Mitchell Trubisky moving forward, the $21 million investment in Alex Smith is all worth it to me.
Alex Smith going to wind up with like three or four castles because of this. You remember when Andy Reid said that Mahomes needs to buy him a castle? Now apparently Dwayne Haskins on the hook for a castle and possibly Mitch Trubisky. So this guy better become a coach quick.
Where would you build your castles if you're Alex Smith? You're going to have three, because Pat, Clem, and then maybe Mitch is going to build that for you. Where are your three castles located?
Wherever you want them to be.
One needs to be in the Gulf for sure. Gotta enjoy some good Gulf shrimp.
Okay.
Wasn't he like swimming in Hawaii or whatever the one?
Yeah, that's right.
That looking ripped photo, remember, when he was on a board or whatever? That was Hawaii, right?
Yeah. And so I'd have one of the place
I don't know if I'd want a Hawaiian castle.
Make it washed away or, you know, hit by a volcano.
I would make it out of sand, but I mean, I would still have a castle there.
I'd be up in the mountains.
Did you think I was talking about a sand castle?
Are you talking to me? No, yes. No, God, no. But you can, I mean, you're on an island. There's volcanoes and
beach,
water.
I was just assuming.
Interesting.
Something more permanent than that. But, yes, Dwayne Haskins, the latest to consider Alex Smith, an invaluable resource. Right. So he's got that going for him. That's on his resume.
Wine country, by the way, coming from the text line. That's a good one.
His resume. But if not coach, yeah, maybe Alex should just go consult when he's done playing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just pop into training camps and stuff.
I mean, it's pretty abundantly clear the guy really likes football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think it's abundantly clear to go coach 18 hours a day and make, like, you know, $250,000 being a, you know, an assistant.
I mean, we've all kind of stepped back and looked at Alex Smith's situation right now, and like, I would never try to return. Like, I saw what happened to your leg.
Yeah.
It looked disgusting. Take the money and run,
yeah,
Alex.
Take the cash.
Go.
Take the cash as long as it's guaranteed for you.
He's not wired
cash.
That way. He's wired in a very different way.
His wife, I hope, is wired that way. It says, not happening.
They're not. You're not leaving. They're going to tell you to go.
That's so right.
Pretty fetching as well. So. Mm-hmm.
This half hour brought to you by
the Halloween pictures.
Oh, my goodness.
Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. He's still alive, and they're fifth. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.